Hello, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ and having some victory over internet pornography, and I'm working on codependence, and my name is Jim.
Hey, Jim.
So, if you would join me in prayer. Loving God, I thank you for being here tonight, for being in your presence, to being in a space that you've created for us, for healing, for wholeness, for love, for joy, and for peace. I ask that you pour forth your Spirit upon us tonight and help us to hear your voice and hear what you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, if you're new tonight, Ron gave a little bit on how this works, but this is the large group session. After we've given a chance to sing some praises to God, it alternates. One week is a teaching, a lesson. The other week is testimony. We are on lesson 21. We follow, basically, if you do a step study, there's four of these little guides. There's 26 different lessons in it. So if you figure that out, we meet every week. So every other week is a lesson. That's 26 lessons. So we are on 21. The topic tonight is relapse. So let's start with the principle. I'm going to put my glasses on. So principle 7, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life and gain the power to follow his will. Step 11, and if you'll join me in this one, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And the scripture with this is, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, from Colossians 3:16. All right, so relapse. There's a lot of things that can lead to this. So a couple things. First is, we are in the middle of, mostly in the middle of summer. It's a weird time because we're still in the kind of a COVID world, so it doesn't feel the same as most summers. But often we'll go on vacation, and sometimes we go on vacation and we go on vacation from our recovery, and that creates temptation and a chance for a relapse. The holidays will be coming up before long. Sometimes family can be a trigger for that. Sometimes the season can be a trigger for that. Sometimes the isolation of the environment where people are either wearing a mask or not hugging, not embracing, can create isolation. Another sort of thing that could lead us into, I'm going to go back to my old habits, the things that are what I go to when I'm struggling. So tonight we're going to focus on a relapse prevention program. So the acrostic for tonight is relapse. The R. And I will go into these in detail. So if you miss filling in your blank, in the little handout next to your seat are blanks that go with this acrostic. So the first one for R is reserve a daily quiet time. So a daily quiet time. E is evaluate. L is listen to Jesus. A is alone and quiet time. P is plug into God's power. S is slow down. I did a lot of caffeine this morning, so I'm still working on that. And E is enjoy your growth. So that's what the acrostic is. Like I say, we'll go through them one by one. So the first letter for relapse stands for reserve a daily time, quiet time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life and to gain the power to follow his will. It's easy during difficult times to fall back into old habits. The alcoholic goes back to drinking. The overeater goes back into things that cause overeating. The gambler decides They're going to try Las Vegas. The workaholic, that's one that I can easily slip into. Gets busy. It's busy, so busy that I can't feel what I'm feeling. Or a codependent goes back to unhealthy relationships, and the list goes on and on. So the first step in preventing relapse is to admit that you will be tempted. Jesus was tempted. We go to the temptation in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. I'll recap it for you. Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tempted there by Satan. For 40 days and 40 nights, he ate nothing and became very hungry. Then Satan tempted him to get food by changing stones into loaves of bread. "It will prove you are the Son of God," he said. But Jesus said to him, "No, for the scripture tells us that bread won't feed men's souls. Obedience to every word of God is what is needed." Then Satan took him to Jerusalem, to the roof of the temple. "Jump off," he said, "and prove that you are the Son of God." Jesus responded, "It also says not to put the Lord your God to a foolish test." So next, Satan took him to the peak of a very high mountain, showed him the nations of the world in all their glory. "I'll give it all to you," he said, "if you will only kneel and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," the scriptures say. "Worship only the Lord God. Obey only him." Then Satan went away, and the angels came and cared for Jesus. So Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. But he was tempted, and we will be tempted. Mark 14:38 tells us, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So being tempted is not a sin, but giving in to it is. And there's a difference between temptation and opportunity. Opportunity sometimes only knocks once, but temptation keeps knocking. So we have to take a look at that temptation and that it's going to be a battle. When we're tempted to fall into our old hurts, hang-ups, and habits, we need to say to Satan, as Jesus did in Matthew 4:10, "Get out of here. The scripture says, worship only the Lord God, obey only him." So next in the acrostic is E for evaluate. So in the last two lessons, we learned that our evaluation needs to include our physical, our emotional, our relational, and our spiritual health. And as Amy said last week, or 2 weeks ago, and that Pastor Rick Warren has said, we need to do a heart check. And that stands for, am I hurting? Am I exhausted? And I will admit I'm tired tonight. Angry, resentful, or tense? Thinking about speaking tonight, I was on the drive here feeling a little stressed, a little tense. And I did recognize it as I was driving and then pray about it in that moment. God's able to listen while I'm driving, and I'm able to do it hands-free. So that worked well. But it was just noticing those things. And so like two of those for me are up tonight. I'm quite tired because we've been doing some remodeling and some tension. So if you answer yes to any of those, use the tools you've learned in recovery to help you get back on track. From Romans 12:3-17, be honest in your estimate of yourselves. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other. Be patient in trouble. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you're honorable. Daily practice of step 10 maintains your honesty and humility. The L is listen to your higher power, Jesus Christ. We need to take time out of our day to listen to our bodies, our minds, and our souls. Slow down enough to hear the Lord's directions. From 1 Thessalonians 5, test everything that is said to be sure it is true, and if it is, then accept it. Now let's look at A, which stands for alone and quiet time. The first part of step 11 says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. In principle 3, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to God's care. And in principle 4, we confessed our sins to Him. And in principle 5, we humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. So now in principle 7, to continue on our recovery, we need to have daily quiet time with Jesus. So set a daily appointment time to be alone with God so that you can learn to listen carefully and learn to hear God. Take a look at your own life and when your best time is. For me, I'm a morning person, and so that's actually when I'm in the best space to pray, to not be started into my day and get busy. My wife is the opposite. She's a better end of the day kind of person. She likes to wake up slowly and not have conversation first thing. So we're, like I said, midday is a good time for us to communicate. But for me, it's morning. So look at when that can work in your day. Second thing that I think gets in the way is we have sometimes an unrealistic ideal. My prayer time, it needs to be an hour. I should be able to give an hour a day to God. Well, I would fail at that constantly. Really, it's let's just start with a relationship. It's kind of like, you know, if I go way back in time, in the dating days, first you got to say hi. You know, and first you got to get to know each other. And it's awkward to spend a lot of time with someone if you haven't kind of built on that relationship. And so find those times at work. Couple times when I'm actually slowed down enough to hear God. The first is either on my commute to work or in the shower. Those are two times when God does speak to me because my brain is not preoccupied with other things. It's kind of an idol, and I can hear God. A couple of other times, end of the day, turning off the TV or the computer or whatever it is that is entertainment, putting down a book, and before closing my eyes, because once I close my eyes, I'm going to fall asleep, is some time with God there. And then throughout the day, there's times I check in, you know, because I'm recognizing something going on within me or in a relationship or in my work environment. Again, start with setting aside a time that you know will work, that you can do. And if you miss a day, the devil loves that. Okay, you failed, so you might as well just give it up. No, come back to it. If you miss 3 days, that doesn't matter. If you miss 3 weeks, just keep coming back to it. That's what God invites us to. Psalm 46:10, God tells us, "Be still and know that I am God." Step 11 uses the word meditation. Might be new to you, might feel uncomfortable. The definition of meditation is simply slowing down long enough to hear God. The enemy will use whatever he can to disrupt your quiet time with God. He will allow you to fill your schedule with so many good things that you will burn out and not have time to keep your appointed time with God. Here's an example. I know for myself, I'm going to read this inspirational book, then I'm going to read a scripture passage, and I'm going to do a little praise and worship music set, and then I'm going to do some adoration, and then some petition time. Oh my goodness, I just set so much up that I didn't leave time to hear God, right, in all of that. So, like I say, start simply with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. God's always there just waiting for us. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "Happy are those who find joy in obeying the law of the Lord. They study it at day and at night. They are like trees that grow beside a stream that bear fruit at the right time." So the next letter is P for plug into God's power through prayer. Sometimes folks will say, "I prayed about it and nothing happened." Well, I know when I look at that in my life, did I pray for God's will or did I pray for mine? Did I have an openness to something better than what I thought I needed or wanted? Was I demanding things of God versus asking? So being specific in prayer request is a way to be plugged into God's power and being open to an answer. In Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul tells us to pray about everything, asking for God's perfect will in our decisions. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. The verse says his answers, his perfect will, not mine or yours. Mine are often imperfect and self-centered. Sometimes I can use God as a labor-saving device. Maybe if I pray about it, it'll happen instead of me doing something about it. The S in our acrostic is slow down long enough to hear God's answer. God said to Job, "Listen to me, keep silence, and I will teach you wisdom." Job 33:33. Philippians 4:7 says, "If you do this, present your request to God, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus." And finally, the last letter in relapse is in E for enjoy. Enjoy your growth. You need to enjoy your victories. Rejoice in and celebrate the small successes along your road to recovery. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 tells us to be joyful always, pray at all times, be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life in union with Christ Jesus. And don't forget to share your victories, no matter how small, with others in your group. Your growth will give others hope. It's really easy to, and my wife and I were having this conversation just last night. We were focusing on a frustration of the day. And it hit me of, okay, yeah, and we need to process that. But then let's take a few minutes to each share what went well today. What were things that we prayed about and that were answered? And for me, it was a real level set because there was so much more that went well than my one frustrating thing. And I find that when I take a look back, kind of doing a daily inventory, and our inventory, just to, you know, a while back when we did inventory, it's the things that we fall short on, but also the things that we did well. It's a balanced inventory. And that should be true of our daily inventory. So taking a look and thanking God, kind of a retrospective on what were things that were concerning my heart. Was it my children? Was it my work? Was it my spouse? Was it my own journey? And where was God in that? And I see God's hand throughout all of that. Just as a reminder, I was just looking it up because, you know, we covered a lot of New Testament passages, but I really like the story from Elijah. Then God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks to pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." So it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. So I just, you know, I relate to Elijah because I'm often looking for something earth-shattering, whether it's an earthquake, a wind. That is Elijah, 1 Kings. That's 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. Thanks for asking. And it just reminds me to slow down enough, right? And take a look. So before we wrap up, a couple of other thoughts that I've on my own experience. What are things that help prevent relapse? For me, pride gets in the way. Pride, fear. It's going so well, I can skip a meeting. It's going so well, I'll pray tomorrow. It's going so well, I'll check in with my sponsor another day. Those are all things that can get me in trouble. So weekly meetings, checking in during small group time. I find that honesty gives way to healing. So sharing with somebody else earlier, and he was saying that, you know, on his worst days, it seems to, and he shares about his worst days, it seems to meet people where they are. And in that honesty, God works, right? So I share if I'm not doing well. I no longer try to put on a face that I got it all together. I mentioned a sponsor. I'm talking regularly with my sponsor and checking in and saying when it's going well and also when it's not. And taking a look through some counseling, I had a counselor that said, okay, well, you know, when you fail, you're in the ditch on the side of the road. So what are the things that are on the shoulder for you that lead to the ditch? When are you not in the middle of the road where you should be? So that can be, as we mentioned, with a heart check. I could be, you know, exhausted. I could be stressed and tense. For me, alone and lonely are times that could be of temptation. So how do I reach out? When I have a fight with my wife, that puts me in a vulnerable place. So do I reach out to the guys in my group and say, hey, I'm feeling a bit low and I just need you to know that. And they respond. They're praying for me right in the moment. And to me, that is enough to get me back in the road where I need to be. Accountability partners. That's one thing I really like about CR. Besides my sponsor, the guys in my small group, they know my journey. They've lived it with me for years here now. So I know I can reach out to them. Matter of fact, while I was here tonight, got two text messages from guys that aren't here tonight and what's going on for them and what they want us to pray for in small group with them tonight. So that connection continues, whether one guy is on the road in Seattle doing business, another guy's in Texas, but we're still connected. We don't let that be an excuse for not checking in with each other. For me, journaling, so that reflection at the end of the day, taking daily inventory, and again, okay, did I write a whole page? Did I write a page and a half? Sometimes we set this expectation that it should be something profound and long. I don't know, that's one of my traps. If I write two sentences, that's enough sometimes, because it's enough to just get me started and to get the critical elements of what's gone on in my day, to get me out of my own head and into what God might want for me. I mentioned counseling earlier. That can also be a benefit if you've got a counselor that is really good and supportive and can help you work through past hurts and hang-ups. And then fellowship, like we're doing tonight. Continuing to keep those relationships alive and vital and connection. So a quick recap. Pray and read your Bible daily. Establish a specific time of day to have your quiet time. As I just mentioned, make attending your recovery meeting a priority. We do meet every week, 52 weeks a year. Spend time with your family if they're safe. If not, spend time with your church family. And get involved in service. Volunteer. You don't have to wait until you get to Principle 8 to start serving. These are just a few ideas and suggestions. Share tonight in your small group, if that works for you, on ways that can help you and help prevent relapse. Thank you.